Hello?
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 You pod.
To win the game. That's the great thing about sports.
You pod to win the game.
All right, welcome into You Pod to Win the Game. I am Charles Robinson, senior NFL writer for Yahoo Sports. He is Frank Schwab, senior writer for Yahoo Sports. Frank, the Pittsburgh Steelers named Mitch Trubisky their starter. Does it even matter? Really?
I don't mean to start on a negative note,
but we could all sit here and waste a lot of breath today or the next week or month or whatever and say, well, maybe Mitch has got this or maybe he could do that. If Kenny Pickett is ultimately your goal, they're going to get to him eventually this season. And if they don't get to him this season, that's potentially troubling unless Trubisky plays out of his mind. But if it would seem to me that Pickett's the plan here. So I feel like Mitch Trubisky is just a seat warmer.
And especially with the Steelers' early season schedule, which we've talked about on and off in the offseason, it's going to be hard for Mitch Trubisky to get out of September with that starting job. I expect by the beginning of October, it'll be Pickett time. So, I assume early October, mid-October. Look, there's only been a couple quarterbacks since, I believe, like 2000, the Aaron Rodgers year, 2005, 2006, whenever he was drafted. The only two quarterbacks drafted in the first round to not start a game was Jake Locker, Brady Quinn. Didn't help those guys, obviously. So at some point, we're seeing Kenny Pickett this season. Yes, and it really doesn't matter that Trubisky's the starter now. Although I guess theoretically he has a chance to ball out and, you know, kind of resurrect his career, latch on somewhere next year. But yeah, it's he's keeping the seat warm for Kenny.
I guess, look, Pickett could come in and be terrible. That would be a disaster to me. If you're Pittsburgh and Pickett is not what you hoped he was, it's a mess there, right? Because I can't believe that Trubisky really realistically is going to be a long-term starter there in Pittsburgh. At least I can't see that. The contract alone suggests that's not the plan. That wasn't the plan. Drafting Pickett suggests that's, you know, not the plan. I guess we'll just see whether or not Trubisky can put enough together to maybe give himself like a Jameis window somewhere else, another team.
Yeah, right. Something like that. And he could. I think he's been banged on a little too much. Like,
really?
I don't think Mitchell Trubisky's been a terrible quarterback. I don't think he's good by any means. But for a young guy coming into a spot with a terrible head coach, obviously, I thought he was at least respectable. And there was a reason at one point he was second pick of the draft. Was he overdrafted? Of course he was. But could he end up having like a Jameis type of, you know, hey, I'm going to be somebody else's starter at a cut rate? I could at least see that possibility for him. But with this year, next year's draft class coming in, there, you know, a lot of these seats in this game of musical chairs are going to get taken too. So this might be truly his last chance to establish himself as I could be a starter in the NFL or a top end backup. He's got a few weeks to do it. Would you have gone to Pickett week one?
Man, that's a good question.
He did look pretty good in the preseason. I mean, he has third stringers and a lot of safe passes,
right,
but did look pretty competent in that playing time he got in preseason.
I can't answer it without, I wish I could have, you know, gone out there and saw him, you know, and talked to them and kind of see where he is in terms of his development. Because again, I don't want to put the same way. I don't like banging guys too much in the preseason. I don't like to, you can't give this guy his flowers because he went out and probably chopped up some guys that aren't even on rosters right now. If they saw enough, I would have to believe that if they were ready to start the process right now. I don't know if that seems like Mike Tomlin would be someone to waste time. So it's suggestive to me at the very least that there's still some work there to be done. You know, we had that weird roster thing where Mason Rudolph for like a day was second string, but then they called it like a clerical error or some bullshit, which I don't know. The roster stuff to me at this point is kind of stupid. Let's see where the rosters sit when we kick off Thursday. But yeah, I don't know. We'll see. Maybe the one thing I will say about Trubisky that's semi-interesting to me is he didn't end up in New York with Brian Daboll, right? And I know that they were interested. I don't think that Trubisky's people felt like that was going to be the best opportunity for him to get a starting job, that it was clear they were going to give Daniel Jones that shot. Quarterback looks like it's a mess with the Giants. I wonder if Trubisky plays well enough, whether or not Brian Daboll is sitting there saying, okay, maybe that's a kid that I have familiarity with. He played well enough. And who knows what their shot's going to look like in terms of the next quarterback, in terms of and by the way, this is me assuming that what's there now is not going to work out at the quarterback position. Probably, I feel like it's a fairly safe assumption. So I still think there's a chance that if Trubisky plays well enough, Brian Daboll could sit there and go, I still think this kid might have enough to be a starter in the NFL. I have a familiarity with him. Maybe the Giants are a team that looks at him as a potential bridge next year if they don't have their quarterback right out of the box, whatever. So we're going to run through some of the preseason predictions because I love these so much. They're awesome. I love going on record. I don't remember, by the way. I'll be completely honest with you here. I have no clue what I picked.
That's good. Wiped it out of your mind.
No idea. I have zero clue who I picked. You know, what was it, a week ago? When did we get those
picks?
About a week ago.
Yeah, we picked about a week ago. Yeah.
I can tell you the thought process I put into it at the stage of that day was to send a text message. I was like, here, let me just go ahead and pick off the top of my head. I for everybody listening, we don't know. We have no clue. It's early September. So when we pick these divisional things, when we pick who, you know, by November, we're all staring at each other like, oh God, we had no idea. I had no clue that Cincinnati Bengals were going to be worth the shit last year. None. Like until it happens, we don't know, but let's go through this anyway, just to charge people up. I'm sure you're super excited.
You don't care, but I'm the gambler of us, and I have money on these things, so I have taken it seriously.
Okay.
And yes, if you're sometimes you're holding a 25-1 Paul Goldschmidt win NL MVP ticket in September. Hey, you feel pretty good about predicting the future, you know?
If you got money riding on it, then I totally get it. But don't,
Charles,
please,
always have money riding on it, brother. You do. You know that.
So for those listening, put it on Frank then, because the picks that I make right now, don't sit there and go, oh, he's just put so much scientific thought into this, and he's looked at the schedule, and he's looked at the opposing this or that to figure out. No, I don't. I have no clue.
To be clear, though, Charles, even though I have studied this and I do take it seriously, I don't know what the heck's going to happen either, because the NFL is a snow globe. It's the Etch-a-Sketch. You turn it over, you shake it. It doesn't matter week to week usually in the NFL. And the things we talk about right now in this next half hour or so will just look silly late in December, because this league, that's the way the league is built. The league is built for unpredictability, but that's why we love it.
Your sponsored segment, by the way. this is how we get our sponsored segments. By the way, everything you hear, doesn't mean anything.
No, because people can look back and say, oh my God, you picked the Ravens to win. Right. Really? That's what, okay. That's what'll happen. Exactly. People can make fun of us.
MVP. Just if you remember the picks you made, I don't know if they're going to sync up with your previous picks, but MVP, who do you think, who do you like that's not named Trey Lance as a potential MVP pick?
I almost picked Trey Lance to win MVP just to spite you, Charles. I pick Lamar Jackson. It's easy to pick Josh Allen. And look, if the odds, look, a lot of these times when I pick, I do have the odds in mind because, you know, we don't want to be boring, right? I could pick Josh Allen to win MVP and all the favorites and all that, but that's boring. So I took Lamar Jackson. I just think that we're sleeping on Lamar. Like, we've just forgotten that this guy is unbelievable football player. He's going to be in a much better situation with a Ravens team that should be a lot healthier this year. I think they win the division. I think they're a Super Bowl contender. And Lamar Jackson, in a quote-unquote down year last year, was on pace for 4,400 passing yards and 1,150 rushing yards. If that's the worst we're getting out of Lamar Jackson, he's going to be in the MVP race every year. And we forget, he's 20, I believe 25 still. So he's ascending physically. The contract thing could be a distraction. It also could be one of those Aaron Judge type of things where you're like, I'm going to show you. I'm going to go out and win an MVP and you're going to pay me. Like, so I think everything lines up for Lamar. He's my MVP pick. If all the odds were equal, I'd probably pick Josh Allen, but whatever. That's boring. What fun is that? So who do you got?
A lot of people are excited about Lamar this season. And it's wild to me how excited people are. And then I sit there and I look, like, we went through our fantasy draft, obviously, for the Super League. And when I was semi-preparing on my phone for that, as I was like walking through a park and drafting, I went and looked at the Ravens depth chart again. I get the dynamic player that he is. This season to me is going to prove once and for all, does he need There's less around. I mean, you take Hollywood Brown off there, and I'm like, I don't know.
And that's almost a plus for me when I'm picking MVP, because it's like, I think by the end of the year, we're going to look up and say, Lamar had no help at all. Oh, my goodness, he has Mark Andrews and whoever. I mean, I guess Rashad Bateman's a pretty talented dude, but we're going to be like, who's the second receiver? Devin Duvernay? And he's still put up these numbers? Yeah. I think that that's actually going to be a plus for Lamar Jackson.
I picked Justin Herbert when I made my picks previously. I like the AFC West producing the MVP, and I like it to be a quarterback. I think it's going to be one of those four guys, and I think any one of those four guys potentially could do it.
Even Derek,
Even Derek. I think
I think see the path, sure.
If the Raiders, say the Raiders had, you know, great, the Raiders go 13-4, right? And that, to me, there's no quarterback who wins that division who doesn't put up big numbers. I think whatever team, whether it's the Chargers, which is part of why I picked Herbert, because I looked at the line, I looked at the skill positions, I thought, and then I looked at the kid's ascension every single season, and I'm like, this just lines up. This should, you know, this feels like the season where he takes that big leap, sort of like I felt like last season. Oh, this is Josh Allen's big MVP year leap. I also like Russ, though. You get Russell Wilson's line. Again, you look at the skill positions. Granted, he loses Patrick in the preseason. But overall, I think the surrounding pieces are good enough that he could put up huge numbers, bigger numbers than any numbers he's ever put up in Seattle. And I would say if the Broncos win the AFC West, Russ puts up huge numbers. Guess what? He's going to get MVP votes. Whereas I look at Carr and I look at Mahomes, and it's almost like you said with Lamar Jackson. I think Mahomes manages a Mahomes-like season. Last year, I kind of felt like it was 50-50. Like he half of the season, it felt like Mahomes. The other half felt like he was forcing things. If he can put together any other season in his career that where it's a complete 17 games or whatever, and the typical numbers that we're used to with him, I'm going to look at those surrounding players and be like, holy shit, how did he do that? Like, what? This is, it's a Lamar Jackson situation. Obviously, he's got Kelce. I get that. I'm not going to say the cupboard's completely bare there. And then with Carr, I think Carr, because of the offensive line he's got to work with, which is it's not a good offensive line. I'm sorry. I don't have any other word to use for it now. The Raiders' offensive line is not good at all. I don't like the fact that Waller is like an MIA preseason, basically.
Yeah, that's not good vibes.
So, you know, to me, I look at the team that wins this division, and I look at the quarterback on the team that wins this division. I just don't see that not being a player where – he hasn't put up just a sickly impressive season. So I will stick with Herbert because that was the prior pick that I made, and it makes the most sense to me. But I still think AFC West quarterback, whoever wins the division, is going to be a guy that is going to be ballistic.
I can see that. Real quick, I wrote at some point this week in one of our preview stories, like, and I wrote the line, and I wrote that all four quarterbacks could throw for 5,000 yards in this division. I thought, that's ridiculous. And I thought about it, and I'm like, it's not ridiculous. Every one of these guys could throw for $5,000. And
in a 17-game season?
Yeah,
17-game season,
And it sounds ridiculous, but it's all on the table for every one of them. AFC West is just endlessly fascinating to me.
Look, the Chargers defense could be very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
The Broncos defense could be very, very good, okay? But it still feels to me like it's got to be a boat race, right? I just don't see it not being a boat race with the quarterbacks, with a lot of the pieces in this division. I think if you're a defense in the AFC West and you hold teams to 20 points a game consistently, you're a really good defense.
Really good. Probably. Really good. We're going to see. I mean, we are. It could happen that Thursday night game, the first Amazon game week two with the Chargers and the Chiefs going at it. We could see some 42-38 games in that division. Wouldn't surprise me at all just because you look at the talent. And there's defensive talent too. I mean, don't get me wrong. Raiders added Chandler Jones. And like you said, the Broncos are fairly solid on defense. Chargers, I think the Chiefs defense is really underrated coming into the season. They could be at least feisty, interesting. But like you said, with the offensive talent in that division, whew, man, every one of these games, you pick any one of the four teams playing against each other, I'm watching because they are going to be fun, fun games.
Offensive player of the year as a again, as an AP voter, I will tell you, at least the way when I look at how the numbers always break down, I always feel like offensive player of the year ends up being the best non-quarterback.
Yeah, that's
the best offensive. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a best player, best offensive player who's not a quarterback. It's like MVP is now a quarterback award. If you won it and you're not a quarterback, you just had a historic season. Otherwise, it's going to be a quarterback with ballistic numbers. Then offensive player of the year ends up coming down to Cooper Kupp or whoever, whatever running back puts up, oh, somebody ran for 2,000 yards. impossible to choose this award. Like I chose Ja'Marr Chase just because I'm like, you know what? His first season was basically Randy Moss. And I'm like, second season Randy Moss seems to me like the kind of player that would win Offensive Player of the Year. You tell me, who is the best offensive skill position player, not a quarterback? And that, to me, is your offensive player.
Yeah, and the only exception in the last 5 years has been Mahomes, the ridiculous year he had, the 50 touchdown year in 2018. He won Offensive Player of the Year. I took Justin Jefferson, speaking of your first season being Randy Moss. Like, I mean, he's been great for two seasons now, and I think they're going to open up that offense, and he's going to do everything. He's going to be fantastic this year. Also, I think Jonathan Taylor is in the mix, for as much as Frank Reich talks about, like, oh, we're going to get Nyheim Hines involved. No, it's going to be JT. He's your best player. You're going to ride that guy, probably to a division title. And I think Justin Jefferson is – I can't remember. Justin Jefferson, let me put it this way. He's the best bet I made as far as odds go. I think Justin Jefferson is like 12-1 or something like that right now. And I think he could have just a monster season. And, you know, as a voter, you don't want to – if you could avoid giving it to the same guy twice in a row, you're going to do it. I think Cooper Kupp's going to be awesome this year again. There's right. no reason for me to believe he's going to regress. But I think if it's close, your human tendency is just, well, Kupp got it last year. Let's give it to JJ this year. So I think Justin Jefferson is going to be my pick.
Tremendously, by the way, in terms of a player – who gets a spotlight, unbelievably underrated. If Justin Jefferson played in New York,
yeah,
are you good? The accolades, the commercials. This guy would. Have you seen him on a commercial? A single commercial?
No, not very often.
I've never seen him on a commercial.
And I mean, you could tell. It's like you watch it. I remember watching his rookie year, like when he first started getting some run. You're like, oh my God, they got something with this guy.
Frank.
BC Johnson was starting over in the first 3 games. What's Mike Zimmer?
Little secret here. Mm-hmm. Justin Jefferson is 30% better than Odell Beckham Jr. was his first couple years in the league.
You forget how he's good OBJ better, was his first couple of years, man.
No.
Bro. My God. Odell is good.
Odell, great, huge catch, wonderfully athletic player, explosive, all these different things. Go look at Justin Jefferson's
numbers.
Yeah,
no, I get it. I get what you're saying. Yeah. JJ's great. I mean, he's so fun. He's so, you know, he's got the dance.
Arguably the best receiver in the league since he came in. Yeah. If you actually look at the stack it up, but he's in Minnesota and Kirk Cousins is throwing to him. I'm sorry, but that beats the hell out of how people view him. Like, it's criminal that he's not a bigger star, you know, everybody should know who he is. But the problem is, again, he's in Minnesota. He has Kirk Cousins.
And they haven't won much. They haven't been in the playoffs since he's gotten
nothing
there.
Nothing sexy about it. No.
Yeah, right. Correct. I agree. Kidding me?
Put that guy in the Jets. Put that guy in the Giants. Put that guy in, you know, almost half the other teams in the league, and he would be a monster. But instead, you know, it's like I really do. I feel like it's unfortunate that he has gone this long in his career and people kind of act like he's popping off when he says, well, I want to be the best wide receiver in the game. I'm like, yeah, actually, look at his numbers. Like, I guess
right. What is his contract going to look like if he keeps this trajectory going? My goodness, he'll get a quarterback type of contract.
Defensive player of the year. I picked Micah Parsons. I have to assume that the Cowboys are going to continue to move him around as much as they can. The one thing about Parsons, when I went through Cowboys camp that was really interesting to me, I noticed immediately he seemed to me to be, and I don't mean this in a negative way, he looked a little smaller. And I mean, like, he just seemed, I didn't know what it was. Like, the second I walked in, I'm like, man, Parsons looks like he's not quite as big as he was last year. And I think he even said, like, he's his weight's down just a little bit. And when you watched him in practice, you see players have a really hard time, offensive linemen have a really hard time getting their hands on him fast enough. If you don't get your hands on him, you're screwed. Like, he's just so fast, and that's the only shot you got. So if you reach out there and you grab air, you're screwed. Your quarterback's sacked or there's a tackle for loss. Again, it's almost impossible to weigh these things out, but I just feel like the Cowboys like to move him around. I think that will continue this year, health permitting. And not only that, he also has that, he just has that mentality to him where he, every single year, he's going to be talking about being a defensive player of the year. I think he truly wants to be that player.
Yeah, I agree with you. I went with Joey Bosa For a lot of the same reasons you talked about with Justin Herbert, of just the Chargers are going to be good. They're going to be kind of a splashy team this year. And all of a sudden, Bosa, really for the, I mean, I guess he had Ingram early on, but for the first time in the last couple of years, at least, he's got a real dude on the other side, Khalil Mack. I think Khalil Mack's at the point in his career where he's not really that top 10 defender anymore, but he's good enough to that you can't just double team Joey Bosa every single play. So I think it opens up a lot of things for Joey. If he can stay healthy, he's at a prime age, 27. I can see him putting up a 16, 17, 18 sack season for a team that is a surprise team that wins that division. And I think that it's going to be a strong narrative for him. And it's funny. It's like almost like, is he even going to be the best Bosa in his family? Because you can make a strong argument Nick Bosa could win that award too. I mean, it's kind of crazy. Both of those guys are brothers. But I went with Joey Bosa. Just kind of, again, I like to think of this in an odds way. And I could pick Myles Garrett if I wanted to, or TJ Watt again. But I just, looking down the odds a little bit, Joey Bosa 25-1, I'm like, yeah, I could totally see a scenario where he just has the monster season. He's had very good seasons. He's been a very, very good player since he got into the NFL. But he hasn't had that monster season, that 18, 20 sack season. And I think it could be coming this year with Khalil Mack on the other side taking a lot of attention away.
Are we sure about Mack? Are you sure about Mack? Are you sure Mack is...
That he's still got? Like, he could still be a...
To me, I'm like, okay, when this move was made, I'm like, is this the DeMarcus Ware... Like, is this okay? Mm-hmm. Ware leaves the cow. Although Ware, I felt like still was showing with the Cowboys when he ended up with the Broncos. But clearly, when Ware went to the Broncos, he showcased more than I think Dallas thought he still had left. Correct. And even to this day, Jerry Jones still talks about how he feels like it was a mistake to ever let Ware get to, you know, get off the roster. Is that what we think about Khalil Mack? Like, do we think this is like late career kind of DeMarcus Ware, where he's got a couple years in him still?
I believe so. I just think he's a elite Hall of Fame-ish player. And really? I think he's had that kind of a career. I don't think he's going to make it. He probably will fall short, but I do think he's still got a couple years left in the tank where he's a good defense. He's DeMarcus Ware. Like, I think that is a perfect comparison of, look how Von Miller kind of blew up when DeMarcus Ware's on the other side, you know, taking attention away. I mean, and I'm not, I think if you're asking me over under Khalil Mack 10 sacks, I might take the under, but I think he's going to impact that defense because I don't think offenses could just ignore him.
That's a good I mean, you're right about when you think about Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware, when they were pitted together. I mean, really a handful of pass rushers for Denver. When you look at that Super Bowl team, he was someone who affected a number of players. So, yeah, I mean, it's that's fair. I like that comparison. Offensive Rookie of the Year. I took Pickett because I think Offensive Rookie of the Year is competent quarterback starter usually wins this, unless there's no quarterback who really can showcase himself as a rookie. Now that Pickett's not starting for them, I probably would come off that.
I get it.
Let's focus it through you first. Who did you pick?
I took Damian Pierce. I had Brian Robinson Jr. And then, you know, obviously I had to change that pick because, although I hope he plays this year, and I think he, you know, I hope he's just normal and has a good long career and a great rookie year.
He's already off crutches. He just came off crutches today. It's unbelievable.
It's amazing. But Damian Pierce is, with Pickett not starting right away, you're like, okay, this award's a little more wide open. Pierce is going to start from day one. He looked great in the preseason. You're just like, what was that Florida coaching staff doing? I mean, why did this guy get the ball 102 times this last year? Like, he should have been getting the ball three times that amount. I think Damian Pierce could be one of those 1,200-yard rushers in a kind of a weak, honestly, offensive rookie class. There's a couple of receivers. Like, Drake London could put up monster numbers because nobody else is there. I mean, but even, like, Garrett Wilson hasn't really emerged for them. And, you know, George Pickens, we don't know his role. I do like Yolanda. Right. Thinking though, and look, if Kenny Pickett gets his job four games into the season, he's got more than enough time to put up the numbers, especially the skill position talent around him. Because voters like yourself look for quarterbacks at every award first and work their way back. And if Pickett is the starter for 14 games and puts up reasonable numbers, he probably will win the award. But just the fact that he's not starting away right away, I looked elsewhere, went with Damian Pierce because I think he's going to be a huge part of that Texans offense.
I really like that pick, especially now that, and I live here in Houston, they have cleared the decks in every possible way in terms of not only is he the starter, they're not even really, like, I feel like when you look at the depth chart, they've done everything to kind of eliminate any threat he has to anybody coming in. There's no road.
I mean, Charles, when they sat him that second preseason game, I'm like, okay, they love this kid. I mean, you don't do that for a rookie. You just don't. Like, and they were like, we're keeping this guy on ice until the opener. And it's a smart move by Lovey. And he just looks, false positives in the preseason. We see it all the time. Yeah. And guys, you know, I mean, it's just the game changes in regular season, but he looks so good right. in the preseason. It was hard to ignore.
I watched him one quarter and I texted a Texan guy. I'm like, is he for real? Like, is this guy for real? Like, what am I watching? Like, is this, I mean, the only other player I did that for rookie in the preseason was Robinson. That was it. Cause I mean, I watched him like, oh my God, this guy's just like, he's getting hit and he grinds out another 4 or 5 yards after he gets hit. Pierce, it was the same deal. I was watching him like, oh my God, this guy looks amazing. And I hate to admit this, but I had forgotten where he went in the draft. Like when I watched him, I'm like, where the hell? I'm like, was this guy like a second round pick and I just missed it? Or like it's amazing to me that he didn't get as many touches in college as
amazing.
Me.
Amazing. Just malpractice basically. Yeah.
Yeah. So I like that actually as a pick, especially now seeing the Texans engineer away, I think any real threat to him. He should get a ton of touches. I don't know if he can catch the ball out of the backfield consistently. I don't know if he's like a two-way running back or not. We'll figure that out.
Yeah, I think he averaged like 10 yards a catch in college. I mean, he wasn't incompetent as a receiver in college. He could catch 25 balls. Like I don't think the
bar. I mean, that's big.
Great for an every down guy or for a guy who's, you know, really they have Rex Burkhead still there to be a passing down guy, but for a guy who's probably going to play 80% of the snaps. Like he'll end up with enough catches that it's not going to be some weird stat line of 4 catches for the season. I think he's just going to have a really, really nice rookie season for a team. Look, the Texans are one of those teams that I've kind of warmed up to as the offseason's gone on. I had them 32nd in power rankings to start, and I'm like, that's too low. This team is going to be interesting, not good, but they're going to have their moments.
And they were one of the things I was thinking about too. Was that they were competitive. I was thinking about Davis Mills and I don't know if you and I had this conversation, but we might even had it on the pod where I'm just like, Mills was a far more competent rookie quarterback than people seem to give him credit for. We talked about it on the pod and I was like, hey, go back and look at his
high school,
high school. Yeah.
Yeah.
But we also forget that like the Texans were competitive down the stretch last year, so much so I was surprised that the coach got fired. I'm like, Cully.
Yeah, that was weird.
I'm like, hey, this thing should have got housed, and yet they were in games late in the season. They continue to fight, and yeah, the talent's definitely better. You know, it's not hard to do that when you really spend as much time as they did clearing out as much as they could. But they're a little more interesting team than I would have thought at the beginning of last year. I was like, oh my God, this is going to be like 3 years in a desert. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel that way anymore. Now really. They kind of
it feels like they could be one of those teams that maybe just wins 5 games, but you're like, those 5 wins and the 12 losses were mostly competitive, you know, something like that.
Where you're like, that you feel like they're taking a step forward. You're absolutely. Like, okay, I kind of get where this is going now. Defensive rookie of the year. I picked Aiden Hutchinson. I liked what I saw in the limited window that he played in the preseason. I'm definitely influenced by Hard Knocks. I won't lie. I've already said this before, like listening to how the coaches talk about him. And I keep reminding myself, like, these guys know they're mic'd up. Like, they know they're on. So is this all a show? Like, is this theater? Them saying, it was like when they did joint practices and you see the coaches saying, hey, that dude, you know, we feel like we got him, you know, that was the right pick, like all this stuff. But then when you looked at some of the things that he did in the preseason, I think he might not be one of the Bosas. He might not be a Myles Garrett, but I think he, to me, looks like he's got the makings, at least at the beginning, of being a very, very good defensive end. Like a double-digit sack guy, like just a really good, the kind of defensive end, like, I'm trying to think of who would I not consider necessary? Like, okay, Max Crosby, we don't say defensive player of the year guy, right? But really good.
Really good.
Pass rusher. We're like, holy, I want that guy. Like, I would extend that guy. I want that to be a building block. I think he could be that kind of player for them.
And I don't disagree. And I mean, he might not be one of the Bosas, but he might be. Like, that's within his range of outcomes.
So?
I mean, I think he could be that kind of player. He was so good at Michigan and he's flashed so much in the preseason. And all of a sudden you're just like, this guy, he has a lot of juice. And I mean, he might fall a little bit short of being that, like, I'm a top 5 defender in the NFL. Like, you know, maybe a Nick Bosa or a Myles Garrett is, but I think it's within his range of outcomes. It's not 50% that he ends up as a top 10 defender in the NFL, but it's there. It's possible. I really like him. I think that's a great pick. I went a little bit, I just got, you know, again, I'm trying to be a little contrarian. I went with Carl Aftis of the Chiefs. flash a lot in the preseason.
You like him.
I do. I like him a lot.
You brought him up like three times.
I know, because he's really flashed in the preseason. You look back to what type of player he is, and I think the Chiefs are going to play him a lot. I don't know if he's going to start week one, but I think he's going to get himself on the field really quickly. And if he plays a ton of snaps, he gets double-digit sacks for a Chiefs team that's going to be on national TV a lot, that's probably going to be in the playoffs, I think that he's going to be in line for at least getting consideration for that defensive rookie of the year. Maybe Hutchinson ends up with, reaching the double-digit sack threshold is a big deal. It just is. Like, it shouldn't be, but it is. I think he can get there. And what if Aiden ends up with 8.5 sacks in a really good season and Carl Aftis is sitting there at like 11? I think that it's just, again, I try to be a little contrarian. Like to make different picks. If all the odds are the same, do I pick Hutchinson? Yes, I do. But I really like Carl Aftis in that spot. And I like him to kind of be a factor for this Chiefs defense this year.
Well, and they need it too. He's going to get snaps. I mean, there's no question.
Why would you leave that guy on the bench? I get it. It's the Bears. It's preseason, whatever. But I watched that Chiefs Bears game and it was like every single snap he's in the quarterback's lap. And they're like, wow, this dude's got some juice. And again, he was one of those guys at Purdue that played a million snaps. He's not going to come off the field that often. So he'll put up the stats he needs to get in line for that award. I think he's a good player and I think he's going to have a good season.
Couple of Big Ten homers on this podcast.
I know, right? We're just going to pick Big Ten guys.
Picking the Michigan guys, picking the Purdue guy. Okay, Coach of the Year. I took Staley because, and I've already kind of laid it out previously on the podcast, I feel like he's got the ability to erase some of the mistakes. He was not perfect last year by any means. I think there were, especially the fourth down calls, I think there were times where he recognized he cost his team maybe games, maybe wins at times with some of the decisions he was making. And I think that he is A, smart enough to fix that, and B, I don't see any indication that he's got the ego like, say, Kyle Shanahan, which can be great at times, but I also think at times Kyle's stubborn and pushes forward in spite of himself at times. I think Staley, to me, he appears to be more of a, yeah, you know what, I'm not perfect, I screwed that up, and let me fix this, and I don't have any issue with that. So I with that talent, man, we've said this before. I swear to God, if the Chargers are not just a hell of a team this
year.
They're
9-8 or something, Charles. Oh, my goodness. And they do this to us so often.
Really is. Let's be clear here. Like, just from a talent standpoint alone, they are a knockout team. They are unbelievably talented.
Top three roster. Maybe top one roster. Like, that's how good they are. Like, that, you look at that roster, you're just like, every single layer, like their offensive line, which a few years ago, we were talking about their offensive line being really not. Their offensive line's a strength. They got a top 10 offensive line now. They've done a great job in the draft building that thing up at free agency, too. I mean, you got three good receivers, if you include Josh Palmer, who I think is very good. You got a top five running back in Austin Eckler. You got, like I said, Joey Bosa, defensive player of the year candidate, all this stuff. Derwin James, who I think is one of the most underrated players. Maybe he's not even
Jackson,
underrated. Jackson's a great corner, as long as he's healthy. This roster is absolutely loaded. I mean, and they better do it this year because, man, again, if they're like last year when they're losing games late in the season to the Texans, don't let that happen. Just come on, Chargers. One of these years, will you do it? Fine, please.
You like him as coach of the year?
I don't. Look, no. I get it. It's a coach of the year is so dumb. I've probably ranted about it here because I've ranted about it elsewhere.
It's a good rant.
Coach of the year never goes to the best coach. Among our last five coach of the years is Jason Garrett and Matt Nagy. You think those guys are elite coaches? No, nobody's saying that. But it always goes to the coach of the team who we were wrong about the most in the preseason projections. And voters, I voted in the past, you vote now. We can't admit we were wrong. It was like, Matt Nagy must be Vince Lombardi. That has to be the reason the Bears won a division title. It couldn't be because we were wrong. We didn't see it in the roster. It has to be because this guy is the modern day John Shula. And no, it's just, it's a dumb way to do an award. Go look. My favorite list in the world is ACC Basketball Coach of the Year. Mike Krzyzewski did not win for his last 20 years as ACC Basketball Coach of the Year. Guys like Josh Pastner and Herb Sendick are winning. Mike Krzyzewski is probably the greatest coach of all time, but he can't win ACC Basketball Coach of the Year. That's why Coach of the Year is stupid. It's hard to handicap. I just took Sean McDermott, and it's because I do think the Bills could have that, 15-2 special season. I really do. It's on the table for them, and any guy who is the coach of a team who's the number one seed in the entire NFL, best record in the NFL, is at least going to get like, okay, we haven't given him the award before. He had this great season. Maybe we need to consider him. He was like 30-1 when I bet him. I just think he's going to be in the mix. But it's going to be somebody like Doug Peterson because the Jaguars make the playoffs, or Dan Campbell, everybody loves him for the award. Or it's going to be just somebody who we're not Ron Rivera because Washington has this crazy 10-win season or something like that. Somebody we don't even see coming, and it's impossible to predict. Coach of the Year is just really, really tough to pick.
Real quick here, without going off the rails, I think that vote is similar to MVP. It's like, could you give it to the same guy or the same two? You could basically group three or four coaches and probably right. give it to like, that group.
Belichick should have won it by like 10 times by now. He's won it three.
Right.
Which isn't bad, actually.
I think it's all comes down to how do you vote. You know, are you just voting in a snapshot? Are you voting in a one season? So, like, for example, I voted for Vrabel last year because
and I thought I looked that was perfectly reasonable. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Injury situation, yep. All the different hurdles that they had to overcome. And to me, I'm like, this had to be the most difficult thing to coach through, given the absolute ridiculous amount of turnover with injuries and just the constant shuffling of the roster. And then you're the number one seed. Now, granted, look, we saw what happened in the playoffs, but I still think that coaching job to me deserved Coach of the Year. It did not meet. But then, you know, other people will go, come on, you think Mike Vrabel's the best coach in the NFL? I get it. I understand yeah, right. both sides of that argument. But again, it goes down to, it's the same as like MVP. I feel like there were years where, say like Brady would win MVP and people would go, he's not the best. He's not even the best quarterback in the NFL. And yet people are saying he's the most valuable player. It comes down to, I think, just the snapshot versus, you're right about the Krzyzewski thing's crazy. I didn't know that. 20 years?
I think, dude, you'd have to, look, I might be wrong and I've been ranting about the wrong thing for, I could look it up, but I think 2001 was the last time he won ACC Basketball Coach of the Year. I don't know if he won last year. And yeah, it's just, it's like, what? Like, huh? Like some of these Coach of the Year lists. Again, among our last six winners, maybe, Jason Garrett and Matt Nagy. Okay. All right. That tells you what you need to know about how wacky Coach of the Year could be.
Okay. I hate doing this one. I hate it because I don't like celebrating. We're not celebrating anybody getting fired. And I even hate predicting guys getting fired, but it is something that everybody talks about every year. First coach you think to get fired. I will start this off by saying the most popular pick out there seems to be Matt Rhule. But interestingly enough, I think if Rhule gets fired now, I guess I look at the Panthers and I'm like, okay, he's set up for some success now. I think he should, you know, I think they should be a good competitive team. So if Matt Rhule ends up being the first coach fired, clearly they came out of the gate not competitive. They lost, you know, who knows? They'd have to start like whatever, winless. They go 0-5, 0-6, whatever. And then Matt Rhule gets fired. Well, yeah, clearly, because at that point he had a much better roster and he should be. I think their roster right now, especially with Baker Mayfield, they're set up to be competitive. And I think it makes it harder, at least for me personally, to look at the group of coaches out there and just say, oh, everybody's going to say Matt Rhule. I don't know that you can do that anymore.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, you're right. Because I think the Panthers, as long as McCaffrey's healthy, especially early in the season, they should be a team that could win some games. I think they're going to win week one against Cleveland. I mean, it's a toss-up type of game, but I think they win week one against Cleveland. I think I don't think we've ever talked about it. What did you make of the Cliff Kingsbury, Steve Keim extensions? Because those guys were clearly on the ropes after last year. Had that nobody's really denied that they had a really, really heated meeting with Michael Bidwill, and they got the extensions. But I still think without DeAndre Hopkins and a tough schedule early on, if the Cardinals are sitting there 1-5, I don't know. I think that's a kind of a sneaky pick for first coach fired there.
Yeah. I mean, because you pair it, I think, again, if they start slow, we're always killing them for being slow second half teams. Well, now you would be piling on a bad outcome last year with a bad start this year.
And then guys like me and you would be writing, well, since October 31st last year, the Cardinals are 4-13 or whatever. I don't even know the record off the top of my head. But yeah, it could get bad there early. Then they get the Chiefs week one. I don't know beyond that off the top of my head, but they play all those NFC West teams that are really good. And I don't know, man. He's kind of a sneaky pick for that category.
Yeah, it is a sneaky pick. Not bad, though, when I think about it. I mean, I think it's less likely because, as you said, they signed extensions. Bidwill, clearly the plan there is they want everybody in that threesome, the GM, the quarterback, and the coach, the trio. They want those guys all tied to each other moving forward. So, you know, you take Kingsbury out of the mix, and not only are you now Bidwell on the hook for a solid amount of money, considering you just did an extension, but now you got to hire another.
I really didn't get that move. I really didn't. Not after the way the last two seasons ended.
I think part of it had to do with extending Kyler. You know, you're like, look, if we're going to give the quarterback the money, aren't we still trying to keep together the group that we thought this is why we're drafting the quarterback in the first place? Yeah. We're drafting him for Cliff. They drafted him for Cliff. They did.
No,
The quarterback for Cliff Kingsbury. Absolutely. Doesn't make sense to do away with a guy. Yeah, I don't see when I sit here and I kind of look at, because part of this is we've had so much turnover in with some of the head coaching jobs that you run into picks that you might normally have, but you're like,
Charles, I did top five coaches on a hot seat last week, and I had a tough time getting a five because I don't know that they're five. I even put Ron Rivera in there, and I don't think that he's on the Smith in there because I think a Falcons could be really, really bad, but I don't think he's going unlikely. Anywhere. Like, I don't think there's going to be, I mean, we'll get to the end of the year. We'll be like, oh, yeah, we didn't see that coming. But it doesn't seem like there's a lot of guys right now because, like you said, all these teams are turning over coaches in 2 years. There's not, unless you're predicting a first, second year head coach, you get fired right away. It's hard to make a list right now of guys who are on hot seat.
I don't think Mike McCarthy, it's hard for me to believe that Mike McCarthy.
Yeah, I put him on there.
I could see him on making the hot seat list. It's hard for me to see them making that move in season unless it's just, again,
disaster. Yeah.
A disaster.
0-6.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. They would just have to be horrible.
Which are not. They're not going to be that bad.
No, I don't think so. They shouldn't be. And frankly, if they start 0-6, okay, then it's a completely different conversation. And we're going, well, this seems deserved at this point because they should have a very, even with the injuries and starting banged up and the offensive line being a little bit shaky and whatnot, it still should be a very, very competent team and should not be a wreck from the beginning. I think long term, when I think of Mike McCarthy, nothing changes for me in terms of it being an evaluation at the end of the season. And I think there's a solid chance they may not make the playoffs. And if they don't make the playoffs, I think he's definitely going to be someone who could be fired. I just don't see it being the first kind of out of the gate guy. So I like your pick in terms of Cliff being slightly unconventional, but making some sense there, because if they start off poorly, clearly given the finishes of the last two seasons, I think there's ample reason to be alarmed there, and you start, you know, considering now you're starting to waste Kyler Murray because you're paying him now. This is every year that gets burned. You just threw money down the drain. People are still going to lean on Rhule. They're still going to look at Matt Rhule, and I mean, I get it.
You said, you know, 5-6 games in. I don't think Tepper has that much patience. I think at 0-3, he might be gone. Like, it might be a really, really early firing. We don't see that often, but clearly, It was an issue at the end of last year that he could have been gone. And I think the only thing that saved Matt Rhule is that long, long, crazy contract he has, where Tepper's like, what am I going to do? Am I going to eat $45 million left on a contract or whatever? Like, that's, I don't know. But yes, if they lose to the Browns week one, and then I don't know their schedule beyond, you know, week one yet, but I mean, if they start 0-3, 0-4, at that point, you're like, okay, we brought in Baker. That was supposed to be an upgrade. McCaffrey's healthy. We need to be better than this. You got to go.
It makes sense to dial it in via owner. And I would say the guy I'd be most scared to work for at this point would be Tepper. Yeah. So
he's like a much friendlier Daniel Snyder, where it's just like he's just doing things on he's not a bad guy, but he's very, very impulsive. And he just, I think these guys who get into the NFL from the quote unquote normal business world and think, hey, I took the business world by storm and made my billions. I'm going to do the same thing in the NFL. And it's just not that easy, man. This is a competitive league. And you just, it's going to be, look, if I was Matt Rhule, I'd want to get off to a good start this season. Let's put it that way.
I'm not putting anybody in the Daniel Snyder camp.
Tough. You know what I mean, though? He's not running his franchise like a frat house like Daniel Snyder is. But yeah, this guy's going to push buttons a lot quicker than most other owners.
Okay, let's rattle off real quick through the division winners. Okay. Mm-hmm. We're going to be wrong here. Okay. So let's not.
You speak for yourself, buddy.
Let's not kill ourselves. I'm not going to go overboard. AFC East, Buffalo, Miami, New England, Jets.
Bills.
Division winner.
Easy.
Okay. I agree with that. This is the fun one. AFC West. Denver, Kansas City, Las Vegas, LA Chargers. Pick it.
Chargers, but I feel like I'm just going to be stupid betting against Andy and Mahomes. Like, it's just, what am I doing? Like, I'm going to feel by the end of the season, like, what was I doing? The Chiefs were right there. Why didn't I pick them?
I'm going to say the Broncos. I'm going to say the Broncos.
Ooh, I liked it. You can pick any one of the four and be, literally, I think the Raiders would be a little bit out there, but any one of those other three, I like that pick, man.
Yeah.
Hey, I picked the Chargers and they haven't won anything 50 years.
I'm completely doing it, by the way. Just, I mean, not completely be contrarian. I do like what the Broncos are bringing to the table. Man. I really do. And I like the head coach and the quarterback addition. And I do.
I'm based here in Colorado. It's like a new day out here. People are excited about this team in this season.
But the fact that you picked the Chargers and I picked the Broncos guarantees congratulations, Kansas City. Like, congratulations.
Can you hand out the hats right now?
Yes. Welcome back to the top, Chiefs. Well, I guess not really welcome back to the top. Congratulations on maintaining your position as the best team for the bazillionth year in a row. Right. AFC North, Baltimore, Cincinnati, Cleveland, Pittsburgh. I know you're going to pick Baltimore because you're saying Lamar is going to be the greatest thing ever. And you love the Ravens anyway.
I love the Ravens this year. Love them. Yeah, that was I can't say there's not a part of me that wonders if we'll look up at the end of the season and be like, the Bengals are trying to tell us last year they've arrived. I don't think they're there yet, though, and I like the Ravens a lot.
I will go with I'll join you with the Ravens only because when I finally went back and I reviewed a little bit of like the Bengals last season, and you're right. I mean, there were far more close calls than I really realized.
A lot of green lights.
You know, when they get to the Super Bowl, in my mind, I don't know why it canceled out a number of games. When I went back and looked, I'm like, man, they had some luck. They definitely had some luck
and
in 2021.
And good for them. It's hard to win close games in the NFL, and they did it. But, man, they caught a lot of green lights on the way.
It's a prove-it season. AFC South, Houston, Indianapolis, Jacksonville, Tennessee.
Colts easy. I could – you know what? I think, as crazy as it sounds, I think – the Jaguars are the team that could upset that more than the Titans.
Yeah.
I really think that if we're looking at – look, every year we have a team that just comes out of nowhere. Like however many straight years we had some team go from worst to first. I think it was like 8 straight years or something like that. The Jaguars could be that team. Like why is it that crazy to think that the Jaguars could take that big of a leap? But I think right now you have to pick the Colts.
I agree. I would pick the Colts, but I also was more impressed, I think, with some of the things I saw from Jacksonville in the preseason that was Tennessee. Again, not putting a lot in the preseason here. I'm sorry. I said it before, but I still look at Tennessee and think maybe Malik Willis could end up starting at some point this season.
He's so exciting, man. He's so exciting.
All right, NFC East, Dallas, New York Giants, Philadelphia, Washington.
Philly. I hate that because I want to be higher on the Cowboys because they were so good last year, and everybody's forgotten that. Everybody just wants to dump on the Cowboys because they lost to the Niners in the playoffs, whatever. They lost to a hot team in the playoffs. That stuff happens. But just the Eagles just impressed me, man. The Eagles really are they are so good this year. They are really underrated, loaded on that roster.
I think Dallas, I like the fact – I don't know what Jason Peters has left, but I do like that you made the effort. I do.
Sure. They had to do it. Yeah, I respect that.
Absolutely. Signing. I would have been so pissed if they just sat there and did nothing. At least make an attempt, okay? And we look at him and we're like, nope, he's got nothing left. It didn't solidify the line at all. It didn't help. But at least they made the effort. Even if he's 60 to 70% of the player that he was before, I think he's still a solid, decent starting, you know, offensive tackle. And that's better than what ultimately could have happened with him. I pick Philly as well, though. I like top to bottom. I love Philly's roster. I don't know how I feel about Jalen Hurts yet. I frankly don't think they're 100% sure yet. I think they will know this year.
Absolutely.
Whether or not this guy can get where they hope he can get. But the head coach, I had never really spent a lot of time with Nick Sirianni. This is probably the first time in an offseason where I had a chance to really sit down, chop it up with him, get to know him a little bit. I really like him a lot. I had no clue I would. It's funny because in my mind, I still remember that opening press conference where he seemed nervous and, you know, he got dogged and everybody's like, oh my God, this looks like a mess. And then kind of watching him coach, I'm like, no, he doesn't seem like he's in over his head. You know, he seems they were far more solid than I thought last year and well positioned to kind of get themselves to this position right now. And I think to me, almost like Doug Peterson. Before I knew what Doug Peterson could do as a head coach, before I ever talked to him before, I was like, what the hell? I don't know. You know, I didn't know what he was doing play calling wise, all these things. And then when I kind of got a chance to talk to him and then see how his players interacted with him, I'm like, oh, okay, I think he's going to be fine as a head coach. Maybe not the greatest ever or whatever, but I kind of feel that way about Sirianni. NFC West, Arizona Cardinals, LA Rams, San Francisco 49ers, Seattle Seahawks.
I'm going to go 49ers. I just, again, you know, I can't be on the Trey Lance bandwagon and not pick the 49ers. Right? But I just like, I like the way, look, the 49ers always match up well against the Rams head to head. Kyle just, he really coaches well against McVay. And I just like what San Francisco brings as a whole. And I do believe in the Super Bowl hangover. Look, you spend all offseason getting told how great you are. It's just tough to climb that mountain again. No matter how, look, I'm not saying these guys are not taking it seriously or anything. It's just hard mentally to be like, we've just climbed the biggest mountain there is to climb in our careers. Let's do it again. Like, it's hard to do. And as we've talked about the Rams, just the way they're built, they're very vulnerable to one big injury. Like, if Cup goes down, if Donald goes down, if Ramsey goes down. I mean, it's such a top-heavy team that if one of those superstars goes down, they're really, really taking a step back, I think. I'll take the 49ers. I really like, I like the way they ended last season, and I do like Trey Lance, obviously, from our discussions before.
I'm going to take the Rams. I don't even think the Rams were even their best version last year. And the reason why I say that is I still think there's a chance that Matt Stafford is – even a little bit better than he was last year. The one thing that makes me nervous, and I do believe this is a real storyline, is the elbow and the pitch count. That scares me. It really does. And I think it is probably not an underrated story around that team and in LA, because I'm sure everyone out there, at least when I went through, it wasn't like people were ignoring it. A lot of people were talking about it. McVay was getting asked about it. But I think from an overarching standpoint, when I hear people talk about the league and the Rams in particular, I don't hear a ton about the staff. It's like everyone's buying. Okay, pitch count, no big deal. The way they're framing it, we're totally accepting of that. I don't know yet whether I'm accepting of it or not, because, of course, you're going to frame it in the best possible light, even if you're scared shitless that maybe there might be a real significant problem here. But that said, I think if they're telling the truth, I think if his elbow really is going to be fine, if he really can be a guy who's going to throw 40 passes a game all season long, I'm taking the Rams here. I frankly, it's because I think Allen Robinson, I believe them that he could be far better than advertised. I believe they will get Odell Beckham Jr. back into the fold. Curious to see what Bobby Wagner adds, you know, to the defense. I don't know yet, but I don't know. I just, that's been my pick all season. I don't think I want to come off it now, that's particularly fair. With the 49ers. I don't see their quarterback position sorted out in my mind at all. So NFC North, Chicago, Detroit, Green Bay, Minnesota Vikings.
I've really warmed up to the Vikings. I can't do it. I can't pick them over Green Bay because I think that defense is going to be elite and they still have Aaron Rodgers, but I don't know. There's just something in the back of my mind saying, don't be that surprised that the Vikings take a pretty big step forward now that they have kind of a modern thinking coach and a coach who actually wants to be around the quarterback and doesn't want to fire him midweek. You know, I mean, like I think the vibe around the Vikings is going to be a lot better this year. I think they're going to be very competitive in that division. I think they're going to make the playoffs. I just can't get them over the Packers in that division.
I'm going to take the Packers, but I did notice one thing about the Vikings. I went through Vikings camp. We talked about that before. I had a chance to talk to Kevin O'Connell, all this stuff. I went back and watched the Vikings first team, the very little first team offense that played in the preseason. Even Kevin O'Connell's brilliant and is literally not showing anything.
Nothing. Or, they're going to ambush the Packers week one. Watch, they're beating the Packers
see,
on Sunday.
See, that's what I couldn't believe how little they showed. And I'm like, is this like a mastermind move where like he's literally not showing or is this like an alarm? Is there something I should be nervous about here? Or it's unusual for me to see a first-year head coach come in and really feel like he did not showcase really much at all in his first. They usually show something. They tip something. You know, somebody gets used in an unconventional role or whatever, but they have not shown a thing. I think if it's indicative of him just being smart enough to absolutely not do that, I'm very curious to see what this offense looks like. And weirdly enough, as I did a little bit of work on the Super League, you know, the fantasy draft, and I started to look at Minnesota's offense, like if he is as good as the Rams felt like he was when he got hired by the Vikings, like it could be that surprise team. Like,
oh, they got some dudes, man. I mean, we already talked about Justin Jefferson. Dalvin Cook is awesome. Thielen probably still has something left in the tank. And even guys like Osborne, Irv Smith, like they're viable guys. And I think Kirk Cousins is going to have an enormous year statistically. And everybody's going to say he sucks because everybody says Kirk Cousins sucks no matter how well he plays. But I think defense takes a big step forward just because it can't go any further down. Like they were terrible on defense last year's under Zimmer. I think they just had a lot of injuries. Also, maybe just start tuning him out. I don't know. I just, this Viking team is really, really interesting to me. And one I'm going to keep a really close eye on early in the season.
NFC South, Atlanta, Carolina, New Orleans, Tampa Bay. I've already said, like, I'm going to look like just the biggest idiot on earth. I think Carolina is the surprise team this year. I really do. I think
you're picking to win the division. Stamping it, do it.
I think they can win the division.
Oh, I do. Wow, I like that.
I know this is that one pick where you're like, God, I feel like a moron making the pick. I'm going to look even dumber in 2 months. I'm going to look like a complete asshole.
Charles, but, to be clear, you cannot look any dumber than you do now. It's yeah, okay.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I just feel like that Baker is closer to the 2020 Baker Mayfield. I don't think that's necessarily representative of who he can be every single year. But I think given the skill positions that Carolina has, I think Ben McAdoo is a very good offensive coordinator, not a head coach, but I think he's a very good offensive coordinator. Unless the line is definitely better than it was last year. I'm not saying the line is good, but it's definitely better than it was last year. I think Carolina definitely can be the team that supports. And frankly, I think defensively, people are sleeping on the amount of talent that they really have.
Yeah, they got a lot of good young guys. And obviously, you think the Buccaneers take a step back then. I mean, I don't think you're taking Carolina with 13 games or anything.
It has to be a combo pick.
No,
yeah, it is a combo pick. I think part of it is the Buccaneers taking a step back, and then part of it is Carolina, you know, stepping into the talent that it has and having a serviceable quarterback. What really scares me about Tampa is the interior of that offensive. I can't get over how much they've lost between the tackles at all, and I don't know what to say about Brady. I can't put my finger on it. It feels everything about what's going on with Tom Brady feels weird. If what's being reported is accurate, it's hard for me to believe that his mind is 100% in football. I have no clue about what's being reported about his home life is accurate or not. If it is, it's hard for me to believe that he's 100% mentally there. And it's really hard to say that about Tom Brady because I think his entire career he's been 100% mentally there. I just have a weird feeling about what's going on with him right now. And the fact that he stepped out during the preseason, during camp, even if it was something that was planned. And then football wise, I think he's going to get hit. It's hard. And he's really good at making sure, he gets rid of the ball so fast that if anyone can overcome this and make sure that he's not getting punished by making sure he gets but I think that affects the offense too. If he's just trying to get rid of it so that he doesn't get hit consistently.
Yeah, look at Ben. I mean, not that Brady's going to hit this level, but look at Ben Roethlisberger last year. That offense was terrible because Roethlisberger just didn't want to get hit. Like, I'm not saying like Brady's going to fall that far. I hope not.
Yeah, come on. I mean, like,
no,
he's
no, no,
like,
no. But theory of when all the quarterback is doing is trying not to get hit, you're not going to have a very good offense. Like, it's hard to play offense that way. And even look, I mean, it's not just the interior line that we've talked about a lot. We don't know what Chris Godwin's going to be when he returns. Russell Gage has missed most of the offseason or most of the preseason with a hamstring injury, I believe it is. Gronk is gone. I mean, Gronk's a Hall of Fame tight end.
The funny thing is, too, it's like we don't even talk about Gronk. I think even at times when people talk about Gronk, there's this automatic assumption. And okay, fine. Like, if you want to believe that he's going to come back, oh, well, he's just, he's being Gronk and he's out there and he's chilling out. I've seen him physically. Like, he looks like he's keeping himself. And Gronk to me looks, remember when the last time he left, he quote unquote retired, we saw him. We were like, whoa, like he's lost a ton of weight. He clearly did not look like, hey, I'm going to be the peak 260 pound Gronk. He looks to me like he's not dropped that off at all. Like, he looks ready he appears to be someone, a human being that maybe could step right back in and start
he's
playing football
again. He's a type of dude that could roll out of bed and catch a touchdown for the 5 yard line.
So he could be back, but if he's not, we don't talk about it a lot.
Yeah, but we don't know. Right. And there's this, I'll go with the Buccaneers to win this division, but I feel a lot less confident about it than I did a month ago. And your Panthers are my Saints. I love that defense. I think the Saints defense is going to be really, really good. Get Michael Thomas back. Kamara, it looks like he's not going to get suspended. I do worry about Jameis a little bit. Like you talked about on the last pod, I think it was the last one or two ago, that Jameis isn't quite 100% yet. You could, you know, if it's not the knee, he had the foot, and you know how things sometimes snowball. Like, okay, I'm protecting my knee, and all of a sudden my hamstring or whatever. I worry a little bit about the Saints that way. And obviously, no Sean Payton anymore, who's a great, great coach. But I think the Saints are going to have a really good season, and the Buccaneers do slip. And one thing, I mean, we just expect Brady to be great year after year, but sometimes, and I've been saying this for probably 5 years now, it hasn't happened. But the end, because sometimes it happens so fast where you just wake up one day and you're like, oh my God, Peyton Manning can't throw football anymore. Like, wow, like this happened? Like Ben Roethlisberger, they were like 10-0, 12-0 2 years ago. And all of a sudden it was like, whoa, Ben's washed. Wow, when did that happen? Like it just happens so suddenly. And at 45, like, I don't know. Yeah, I want to pick somebody else, but I just can't. I can't get myself there yet. I'll pick the Buccaneers, but not feeling really good about it.
That's it for the picks. Instead of going through all the games, I'm going to rattle off some games. You just pick the one.
Okay.
Pick one game where you're
by
like.
By the way, did we go Super Bowl pick? Did you give me your Super Bowl pick?
Oh, no. We did not do Super Bowl winner. My bad. That's fine. Oh, we didn't even do AFC, NFC champs. Okay, go ahead. I'll tell you what. Give me your AFC, NFC Super Bowl matchup and then the winner, and I will give you
mine. I'm going boring and taking the Bills, but I am going a little bit unconventional, taking the Eagles out of the NFC. I think I have questions about every single NFC contender, and I just keep looking at that Eagles roster going, man, they're good. If Jalen is just a little bit better than he was last year, I think the Eagles could win the NFC. But I do think, look, it's hard to go against the Bills. It just is. You could make a contrarian bet on the Chargers or the Ravens or whoever you want to, but you're going against the best team in football. The Bills have the best roster. They're going to be really, really good this year.
I think it's an all-LA Super Bowl. I think it's Chargers ring.
Wow. Ooh, that'd be fun. Wow.
I would be – I can talent see it. Why not? Talent-wise, to me, it feels like, as I said before, I think the Chargers have every single reason to win the AFC West. I feel like the AFC West winner, whether – and I know I picked – I think, you know, I picked Denver, but I guess to me, I'm like, who's – just tell me who's winning the AFC West, because I like team the Super
Battle
Bowl.
Battle-tested,
Yeah, I like that as being your Super Bowl team. And I just think the Rams are the class – as long as health-wise they hold up, I think –
So you think Rams win? Rams beat the Chargers? That was a deep sigh. Wow. It's hard.
No. I don't. Yeah. I think Chargers. I would pick the Chargers. I would pick the Chargers in that situation because I like the fact that you have a coach – who coached on McVay's staff, who's and he's a defensive coach. You know, I think I maybe like what Staley potentially brings to the table in terms of like being like a Sean McVay foil. And I could be completely wrong there. But again, don't take these to the bank.
I've already made bets when you're talking about that. I was on my phone.
That would be a fun. I think it would be a fun Super Bowl. Super Bowl would be fun.
A great Super Bowl.
Okay, let me run through these games real quick. And Bills at Rams, obviously the big opener. Patriots at Dolphins, Chiefs at Cardinals, Raiders at Chargers, Packers at Vikings, Buccaneers at Dallas. What's your fancy? Like one game, you only get to watch one game this weekend, starting with Thursday.
I mean, honestly, it's Bills Rams. Like that is the game. Okay. Like there's never been a better opening game. Like that is unbelievable.
Never.
Coming into the, I mean, it might not end. I mean, the Bills might win 45-14 for all we know. But coming in, like the only game I could think of that was better was when Peyton Manning took on that Ravens team in 2013. Remember, they had to play here because the Orioles were playing in Baltimore. And that was a huge game. But these teams, like, not that my power rankings mean anything, but the Bills are number one and the Rams are number two. Like, this is a battle of the Titans. You got the champs against the championship favorites. You got the MVP favorite in Josh Allen against Stafford, who just came off of that. Yeah, his big season, Cooper Kupp, after winning Super Bowl MVP. Unbelievable game. Unbelievable. And I think I'm picking the Rams. I really do. I think they've been disrespected. I think that they've been forgotten. I think that they're going to have a little chip on their shoulder, raising that banner saying, hey, why is everybody forgotten we won the Super Bowl? Everybody's talking about the Bills. What? we're the one with the rings. So I think they're going to have a little chip on their shoulder. I think they win that game. And it's the best Thursday night game I think we've seen on paper. I hope it turns out that way too.
Pretty amazing that the Rams are a home dog after winning the Super
Bowl. It's crazy, right?
You win the Super Bowl, you kick off in your own place. By the way,
and you didn't lose anything. You might have added, like, yeah. I get it. They lost Von Miller, they lost Andrew Whitworth, but you added Allen Robinson, you added Bobby Wagner. Like, this is on paper just as good of a roster, if not better.
You got a team that's making the east to west trek about as far as you can yep. in terms of an east to west flight. And yet you're still a 2.5 point dog. That's pretty remarkable. I agree with you. I tried to come off of this one being the most, you know, I'm like, come on. Everybody's going to say this is the most interesting. But then when I sat and I thought of, you know, Ramsey Diggs, like just Donald, you know, Donald and Allen, the moments that Aaron Donald and Josh Allen have had in the past. I mean, there's a million different storylines.
It's a great game. I'll tell you, and who do you got? Who do you think Bills win?
Man, that's a tough one. I like the Rams at home. I do.
I think that's tough.
Look, the Bills are amazing, and they have every chance to be the AFC Super Bowl winner. They could be, as you said, they could have that potential 15-2 special season in them. But I really do. I feel like I like the Rams more than a lot of people do, and I don't know why that is.
I think so. Yeah, I think a lot of people. Not just. I think it's just passe. It's like, oh, I'm gonna pick the defending champs, whatever. Like, no, but there's no reason they can't go right back and do it. Like, they're really good. They have, you know, their superstars are some of the best players in the game. I think Cooper Kupp had one of the great single seasons in NFL history last year, and Stafford, as long as he's healthy and all that kind of stuff. I'm going to give you two other games I really, really liked. I love the whole week one schedule because everything's new. I want to see the Jets. I want to see the Texans. Sure. I want to see, but Packers-Vikings, which we talked about, I think the Vikings win that game. I think that just the element of surprise is going to be huge for them. And the Packers kind of feeling themselves out post Devontae Adams. And I do think the Cowboys beat the Buccaneers. For a lot of the same, more fading the Buccaneers than pro-Cowboys here, I think the vibes out of the Buccaneers have been really weird. But those two games have four teams that I'm really interested to watch because there's just a lot of – this season could go either way for this kind of team, you know, with all four of those teams. I really am – those are the two games. Other than Bill – I think Bills-Rams just so obvious as the game of the week. The other two, the Packers-Vikings in that late afternoon window, and then Buccaneers-Cowboys are the two I'm looking forward to the most.
Weirdly enough, the Packers-Vikings, what intrigues me is I'm curious to see what the Packers' defense looks like. You know,
they could be awesome. Like they could be. I get it.
Yeah, they could be a great. As much as you look at Rodgers and the whole storyline's been about what he's lost, it could very much be a team that ends up being propelled by just having a fantastic defense this season. So I'm curious to see what that looks like against the Vikings right out of the gate. And then when you talk about Buccaneers-Dallas, both the running backs, I don't understand the Fournette. I don't know if it's just because of how he reported. And that was how, you know, big storyline about like, oh, where's his weight at? And is he even in shape? And like all this stuff. And I feel like I'm hearing a lot of people who are like, oh, it's going to be a big season for Fournette. And it's curious to me, especially considering that when you replace the interior of an offensive line, those are often the guys that end up helping running backs have massive seasons. And then, frankly, Dallas, now I know Dallas has come out, and I think Mike McCarthy's even come out and said, look, Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard are a tandem now, so we should just expect it. I just want to see the usage. I'm curious to see. Mm-hmm. You know,
I want to see if they use Tony Pollard in some kind of a special way. Like, I don't know if Mike McCarthy's
be in the
that
slot.
Creative.
They're going to put him in the slot. I think they're going to put him in the slot. I do. I think he's going to be a slot player. So, all right. I think that's good. This is great.
I can't wait to be on here Sunday. We talked about that, I think, last pod. Like, because it's just going to be like, there's going to be like 5-10 things I'm freaking out about. Like, oh my goodness, we didn't see that coming. We didn't see, holy crap, Joe Flacco threw for 4 touchdowns and they beat the Ravens. Like, just stuff like that happens week one all the time. And it's just so fun.
Come on with the Flacco. What are you talking about?
I'll tell you, there's a ton of home underdogs, right? Of all the whole, like, ugly, ugly home underdogs, the Falcons and the Bears, huh? The one that I'm a little like, I think the Jets have some upset potential against the Ravens. As much as I'm talking about how much I love the Ravens, they come in with some injuries. Ronnie Stanley, J.K. Dobbins, we don't know about. Gus Edwards, obviously out. You know, they just picked up Kenyon Drake off the scrap heap. I don't know, man. Something about that Jets-Ravens game gives me some vibes. I'm just telling you.
let Joe Flacco have a bigger week one than Lamar Jackson.
I know, right?
I can't even imagine the
one. Something like that's going to happen. It happens every year on week one where we're just like, what in the heck did I just watch? Like, Justin Fields just went for 4 touchdowns? What? Like, it's and then something like that's going to happen.
And then the Jets go 1-16.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they beat the Ravens out of the gate, and then they don't win again the rest of the season. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm excited. Thank you, Frank, by the way. Everyone should give Frank props. Hit him up on Twitter. It was great to have him during the balance of the run-up to the season. It was awesome. I'm really excited about Sunday night. I'm where you are. You know how it is. It's like it's often think of Trez at this time because it really is like Christmas Eve.
Absolutely.
You're just sitting there like, here we go. This is who knows what's going to happen on the other side of this. So very, very exciting. Thank you again, Frank. Check out Frank on Twitter at Yahoo Schwab. You can get me on Twitter at Charles Robinson, Brett Rader as well, at Brett Rader. Check out the mothership at Yahoo Sports. And once again, on the eve of the season, this means as much to me as any other time of the year. If you could check out breakingtea.com/Therese and order an all juice tea or hoodie. I think I say this a lot, and maybe the only thing would maybe rival it is like draft coming up on draft and when Therese will put together the all juice team. When the season's about to start, there's no more. I don't think, in terms of being a football writer, Therese was ever any more excited than this expanse of time right here. This 24 hours before the Thursday night game, before everything getting going, just sort of the nervousness of it. So if you could check out breakingtea.com/Therese, order an all juice tea or hoodie. Know that the proceeds from that go to support the Therese A. Paylor Scholarship at Howard University. You can also support that directly or the scholarship in his name at Power Mizzou. If you check out our podcast description, it will tell you how to contribute that way as well. Give us some 5-star reviews. If you could, tell a friend, share the pod, help us grow the audience, help us grow the family. Buckle up. This is going to be awesome. We're looking forward to it. Frank and I will be back for the Sunday night freestyle, and we will go back to the normal schedule beginning next week. So looking forward to it. Talk to you then. Peace.